It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. To win a presidential election in the U.S., you have to earn the support of minority voters. But Black, Latino, and Asian voters are often regarded as an afterthought on the campaign trail, and they're also treated as a uniform voting bloc. One Georgia voter turned his frustration into action last month. Author Demetrius Minor of Augusta was an adamant supporter of the Republican Party, but he recently ended his affiliation with the GOP because of the expected nomination of Donald Trump. Demetrius wrote about his decision on the website Bold. Demetrius, are you there?
I'm here. Glad to be with you.
It's good to have you as well. We also have with us political consultant Omkari Williams-Hill. Full disclosure, Omkari is the spouse of a GPB employee. Hi, Omkari.
Hi.
So we have Demetrius, who is a former Republican. It's accurate to call you former at this point, right, Demetrius?
I guess you could say that. I'm still conservative, though.
Right.
Full disclosure.
And Omkar, you have been a political consultant for mostly Democrats through your career, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So, Demetrius, what was it? Was it just Donald Trump and his nomination that has turned you away from the GOP, or are there other things that concern you?
Well, Donald Trump hasn't been nominated, and I still don't believe he's going to get the nomination. But I believe that the Republican Party enabled the rising of Donald Trump for far too long. And yes, there were certain people that called out his rhetoric, that took a stand against his platform. But individuals such as Reince Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, and different party leaders simply said, well, we're going to stand behind the nominee no matter who it is, because they view that person as the lesser evil of Hillary Clinton. And I didn't like that. I believe that Trump's rise has not only alienated many Americans, but it's also alienated conservative voters within the Republican Party. And there's no way that I'm going to participate in a party that's gone from being the party of Lincoln to the party of Trump.
So where does that leave you, Demetrius? Who do you support now?
Well, it leaves me just being an independent voter with independent thinking, which is sort of what I've always done. More than likely, I'm going to align myself with conservative public elected officials, conservative candidates. There are some good conservatives that are still within the Republican Party. And my ideology is closer aligned with conservatism than it is with the Democratic Party, that's for sure. But I think it's best for me to just step back and not so much be affiliated with a party, but be affiliated with a movement, true conservatism that's going to fight for small government, limited government, free market principles, and not stand behind Donald Trump, who actually is a liberal in disguise.
So, Omkari, this is what Demetrius is talking about. Although he's coming from a conservative perspective, it's not entirely unfamiliar in terms of what I've heard from other people of color, that they feel as though they don't have any good options. We got a tweet from Rosina Terry Mamola who says, I think people of color probably see the Democrats as a lesser of the evils in many cases, just like me. And Adrian Anise says the vote seems to be split across generations. What do you hear from people who feel as though they don't really have a good home?
Well, I do hear that. And the reason I hear that is because it is unfortunately still true in this country that the voices of minorities are actually not listened to in the same way that the voices of the majority white population are listened to. So their concerns aren't addressed. Their concerns aren't often even heard. And that feels off-putting. And I can't honestly say that I disagree with that sense and that experience. What I have also heard, though, is it's not so much always a lesser of two evils as there is a sense often that the Republican Party is actively working against the interests of minorities.
And Demetrius, do you feel that way, that the Republican Party is actively working against the interests of people of color?
I wouldn't say that they're actively, intentionally working against people of color, but I believe that in many ways they have become tone deaf. I believe there are many elements within conservatism that is appealing to minorities, such as school choice, such as social issues, such as capitalism, which is the surest way to ensure upward mobility, especially within minority communities. The problem is that when conservatives try to articulate their message to minority voters, that message becomes offset within the rising of Donald Trump when you see violence, when you see racial and rhetoric that spews hatred and division. So our efforts become invalid because they see the front runner of the Republican Party who doesn't represent American values. It goes beyond just being black or white, but just simply American values, someone who just simply represents himself.
Well, since you mentioned it, let me play this clip. This is actually a montage of some of Trump's rhetoric when it comes to minority groups.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. I don't know anything about David Duke. I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I'd have to look.
So there he's referring to Mexicans first, then Muslims, and then David Duke, of course, is a former Grand Wizard of the KKK. Omkari, when it comes to politics, does something like this mean that a person of color, everything else sort of falls by the wayside? When Donald Trump says things like this, does all the other things you may agree with the conservatives on fall away?
I think it kind of has to, because basically what he's saying is, if you don't look exactly like me, if you don't think exactly as I think, then I'm not interested in supporting you or having anything to do with your concerns. That if you are Hispanic or you are African American or you are Muslim or you are whatever it is that is not exactly what he is, then forget about you. And that is consistently not only what Donald Trump has said, but it is a consistent message, I think, throughout a lot of the Republican Party. And this is where I think they get into a great deal of trouble with minority voters. The policies that Donald Trump has taken to an extreme are simply policies that have, in a lesser way, been in place in the Republican Party for a long time. They are against unions, which are actively supporting people being able to rise into and stay in the middle class. They are against people's individual personal rights across many levels, and it just doesn't work. So Trump has taken everything to another level, and that is where Trump is really in trouble at this point, I think. But it's not surprising to me that at some point someone was just going to jump the shark.
Jump the shark. That's a reference to one of the final episodes of the Happy Days series. My guests are author Demetrius Minor and political consultant Omkari Williams-Hill. We're talking about minority voters who may find themselves stuck somewhere between the ideologies of our two major political parties. And Demetrius, I have to ask if there is another conservative candidate that you would have liked to vote for, who would have kept you in the GOP?
Well, I did vote for Marco Rubio in the Georgia primary. Marco Rubio was the best candidate in the field. He was the candidate that was the most successful in articulating conservatism, and also the candidate that talked about building coalitions. He had an appeal that I believe would have been effective to not just minority voters, but millennial voters such as myself. Talking about forming a new American century where they become a party or a movement of ideas, of policies that will help build Americans up instead of tearing each other down. And he was a person that was could transform generations and different cultures. And it's a shame that the Republican Party, a lot of them, didn't cater to him and instead embraced Donald Trump, because he's the one candidate that poll after poll show was the greatest threat to Hillary Clinton in a general election matchup.
So, Omkari, I don't know if you heard Mark Lamont Hill's remarks, but he was talking about the fact that even on the Democratic side, we don't really have people of color don't have a great option, that he's not convinced. He's actually voting, it sounds like, Jill Stein of the Green Party, but he's not convinced that either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton are the ideal candidates who might do the most for minorities and underprivileged people in the U.S. Are neither of the two major parties fielding a truly great candidate for minorities, at least?
I actually don't disagree with him. I think that that is true. I think that there is a dearth of listening to the issues that are most important to minorities in this country at the moment, and that that is something that has to be addressed. What I also think, however, is that running away, the Democratic Party is far more interested in addressing those issues than the Republican Party. I don't think there's any comparison there. And I think that you may not get your perfect candidate. I don't think you ever get a perfect candidate, but at least you get someone who is willing to listen, someone who is willing to have an honest conversation about what's going wrong, what's going right, how you take what's right and build on it, how you address the issues that are not working for minorities. I think that you don't experience the Republican Party as a whole really listening to the concerns of minorities. There's a lot of demonizing. There's a lot of stereotyping. There's not a lot of real willingness to look at what the causes of the feeling of disenfranchisement most minorities experience are. They just want to say they're not interested and move on to the people who support them. And I think that the Democratic Party, with all of its flaws, is far, far better at listening to the concerns, addressing the concerns, and being willing to look at where things have not gone well in the past and make changes.
So I disagree with that statement. There's been several prominent conservative Republicans who have spoken about the need to address some concerns within minority communities, such as Paul Ryan, Senator Tim Scott, Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Rand Paul, who have actually went across the country promoting opportunity agendas, promoting minority businesses, school choice, different things that will enable the uplifting of minority neighborhoods. There's also many conservative organizations that are working on welfare reform, on Medicaid, and things of that issue that's going to impact the African-American community. Unfortunately, within the rise of Trump, the media only wants to highlight what he's doing and what he's saying, and why I do have disagreements, strong disagreements with the Republican Party and the enabling in the embracing of Donald Trump. There are other conservatives out there who have been outreaching to minority communities. So this notion that the Republican Party or conservatives are not interested in the affairs of minorities, with all due respect, I just think that's intellectual dishonesty.
So then what would hang on one second, Omkari. Demetrius, what would it take for the GOP to get you back?
Well, they got to start, first of all, by dismissing Donald Trump. I mean, if he gets the nomination, which I don't think he will get, but if he did, it's going to take a while for them to build a coalition with many groups, minorities, millennial voters, women, the list goes on forth. But obviously, they have to become better messengers of conservatism. They have to articulate it in a better way. I'm of the belief that African Americans by nature are conservative-minded people. They're concerned about their family. They're concerned about education and things of that nature. So they have to become better messengers. They have the right message, but they need better people who's going to carry out that message.
Omkari, I'm assuming that you disagree with the fact that African Americans are by nature conservative.
Completely. I also, basically, I don't understand how being concerned about one's family, concerned about education, inherently makes you conservative. I think that pretty much across the board, that is a human concern. People worry about their children. They worry about their families. They want the best for them. I think that's just a human, part of the human condition. But I also don't agree that we are looking at a Republican Party that really reaches out to African Americans. With the exception of Paul Ryan, every person on the list that Demetrius referenced was running for president. So it feels to me opportunistic. And then if you put Paul Ryan in the mix, he recently came out and said he was wrong about people who were poor. And I actually heard that as positioning himself to be the nominee if there is a contested Republican convention. So
Let me finish, please.
Yeah, let's not argue.
I don't feel that there is a position that the Republicans can literally honestly stand on where they say that they have consistently been reaching out to the African American community or listening consistently to minorities. They have done this in the last few years as a response to the election and then re-election of President Obama, but it doesn't feel to me like it's part of their core value. It feels like it's something they've adopted in order to get the White House back.
So we have about 1 minute left, and Demetrius, I'm gonna let you respond to this. We're still talking about people of color who are left somewhere in between.
Sure, I understand that. And as I said, there, for example, I want to take the Georgia governor. Who's not running for president, won't run for president, who's focused on criminal justice reform. And there's been many conservatives on a state level who have embraced that idea. I think many people, they look at the federal government as the entity to saving minority communities, which has basically been the Democratic platform, which is a fallacy. Things need to happen on the state and the local government. There's been plenty of movement for criminal justice reform. There's been plenty of movement for school choice, which will empower minority voters, which Democrats have staunchly been against. School choice, school vouchers, just in Washington, D.C. as an example.
We're going to have to leave it there, Demetrius. Demetrius Minor is the author of the book Preservation and Purpose, The Making of a Young Millennial and a Manifesto for Faith, Family, and Politics. Omkari Williams-Hill is a political consultant for local, state, and national candidates. Thank you both so much.
Thank you
for having me.
A spirited discussion.